Welcome. Parshas Tazria begins with the halacha of Tumas Leda, that a woman who gives birth becomes Tumei. For the most part, this halacha is not really halacha lamasa anymore. It's a very complicated sugya, but we're going to learn the first pasuk here and try to understand some of the Rashi. Pasuk Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis. Daber el Bnei Yisrael Leimor. Speak to the Bnei Yisrael, saying as follows. Isha ki sazria. A woman who will translate it as a woman who will conceive. There is considerable discussion about how exactly to translate this word tazria. We will go on a very simple path because it's not our topic. So Isha ki sazria, a woman when she will conceive, v'yolda zachar, and she will give birth to a male child, v'tamah shivas yamim, she will become tameh, she will become impure and forbidden to her husband, shivas yamim, 7 days. If it's a female child, it's a different halacha, different number of days. We're only looking now at the pasuk about the male child. So she gives birth, a nice, healthy male child. It's a great mitzvah. But v'tama shivas yamim, she becomes tamei for 7 days. Kimei nidas dvoisa titmo, like the days of her nida, of her dvoisa, which we will talk about in Rashi, what that word means. Rashi has two possibilities. Titmo, so something like the days of her nida, she shall become tamei, meaning a nida is alpi din, according to the din of the Torah, is tamei for 7 days. She, even if she only sees a flow of blood for 3 or 4 days, but she remains tamei until the completion of 7 days, and not more than that, according to the Torah. Midrabanan, it's quite a bit different. But according to the law of the Torah, without any minhagim, without any midrabanan, Anida is tamei 7 days. So here also, this woman who gave birth is tamei kimei nidas devoisa titmo. Like the days of her nida, she will become tamei. And as some of the mefarshim point out, not only does it last for 7 days, this tumas leda or tumas yoledes, but it also has the same many of the same details as Tumas Nida. For example, Tumas Nida, a Nida who sits on a chair, if the chair is made of a material that is Mekabel Tuma, that is susceptible to Tuma, the chair becomes Tame with what's called Tumas Moishav. Just the fact that she sat on it, even though she didn't actually touch it, that makes it Tame. And certain other halachas which are peculiar, which are special by a woman who is a Nida, so the same halachas apply to this Yoledes. The first Rashi here discusses why this law is placed exactly here. We're going to skip that for now. It's a very fascinating Rashi, but it's not our topic for the moment. We're going to go to the third Rashi comment on this pasuk. He talks about the words, ki mei nidas dvoisa titmo, like the days of her nida, she will become tamei. Rashi says, "Kaseder kol tuma ha'amura benida," according to the order, according to the law of tuma, of the whole law of tuma, as it is stated regarding a nida, mitamo betumas leda. The woman becomes tamei also when she gives birth. So kimei nidas dvoisa titmo means she becomes, the yoledes becomes tamei, similar, just like the nida. Now, Rashi adds a very important detail here, at least according to his opinion. V'afilu niftacha kever b'loy dam. Even if the kever, which means the womb, opened without any blood at all. Why the womb is called a kever is something we will, in Yisrael Hashem, discuss later. But we find that in many places in the words of Chazal, that, interestingly enough, the same word kever is used to denote a grave, and also to denote the rechem, a woman's womb. Again, that's something we'll try to talk about later. But Rashi is saying here that even if the womb opened up to allow the baby to come out, beloy dam, without any loss of blood at all, it's extremely unusual, but even if that happened, the yoledes is tamei. So in other words, Rashi is telling us that this yoledes is not tamei because she experienced some bleeding, which really is the norm. No, that would, as Mefarshim explained, that would just make her into a nida. Then we wouldn't need this pasuk at all. We have psukim in other places that talk about tumas nida. The chiddush, the new point that this pasuk is telling us is that even if there was no blood at all in the process of birth, but still she becomes tumei aleda. She contracts this special tuma that comes from the fact that she gave birth. Let's continue in Rashi. Devay saw. The pasuk uses this unusual word, like the nidas devay saw, like the nida of her device. What is device? Says Rashi, loshen dover hazov migufa. This is an expression that describes something that is flowing from her body. So, like the days of the flow of her nida, she also becomes tamei when she has a baby. How does the word zav migufa, how is that expressed by the word devoisa? A number of the early Mefarshim question this Rashi, and they disagree with this Rashi. The Mizrahi explains that the letter Zion in Hebrew becomes a Dalit in Aramaic, and the letter base of the word Zav, the letter Vase, is similar in sound to the letter Vav. I guess he wasn't a Temani, because the Temanim pronounce a Vase V and a Vav Wa, which are not so similar, but okay. He says the letter Base and the letter Vav sound very similar, so therefore the word Zav, which is a relatively common word in the Torah and in Tanakh, could somehow occasionally be written as dove or devosa. So her flow. We will, Amir Sashem, come back and talk more about that particular point in Rashi. Now Rashi says, Lashon Acher, another explanation of this word devosa, Lashon Madve V'choli. It is an expression of discomfort and illness. She'ein isha ro'a dam, she'lo techla. A woman does not see dam. She does not become anida and begin to experience bleeding if she does not first become a little bit ill. V'roisha ve'evarecha kveidin alecha. Her head and her limbs feel heavy upon her. So therefore, kimei nidas dvoiso, like the days of the weakness and discomfort of her nida, she will become tamei when she gives birth to a baby. The first question I would like to raise on this Rashi, it really doesn't matter how you explain devoisa, it's really on the first Rashi, is that Rashi explains the pasuk, kimei nidas devoisa titmol, means kaseder kol tuma ha'amura benida, according to the order of Tuma, the whole order of Tuma, the whole law of Tuma, Ha'amura benida, which is stated by Nida, mitamo betumas leida. She will also become Tamei when she has a baby. So the pasuk is saying when a woman has a baby, she becomes Tamei, similar to the way she would be Tamei if she became a Nida. The problem is the law of Nida has not yet been stated in the Torah. The law of Nida is written at the end of next week's Parsha, Parshas Metzora. So what does the pasuk mean? She becomes Tamei just like Anida. What's Anida? Who told us what Anida is? One way to answer this question is to say, as we will see in a minute from Ramban, that although the law of Nida is not written in the Torah until later Psukim, but the idea, the concept of an Isha Nida the idea that that it is a very significant event, and that it should create some sort of separation between husband and wife, that already was known in pre-Sinaitic times, long before the Torah was given. How do we know this? It says in Parshas Vayetze that after some adventures and misadventures in the household of Laban, Yaakov finally decided to take his wives and his family and get out of there as fast as he could. And he runs away, and finally Laban, his father-in-law, catches up. And one of his complaints is that he's missing his trophim. He's missing these little idols, or some sort of an idol, or some sort of an item that was used in connection with idolatry. And he's very upset that someone has apparently stolen his trophim. In truth, it was his daughter Rachel who took them. For what reason is not our point now. So he begins rummaging through Yaakov's tents and the tents of his wives, looking for his trophim. He comes to the ohel, he comes to the tent of his daughter Rachel, and it says as follows, V'tomer el aviha, Rachel said to her father, Al yichar be'enei Adoni, please do not let this anger my father. Please, father, do not let this anger you. Ki lo uchal lakum mipanecha. I cannot stand up from in front of you. She was sitting, and she's on some. The pasuk says at a different pasuk that she was sitting on some sort of a cushion that would be put on top of a camel. She was not on the camel. She was sitting in the tent on top of this cushion, and she said to her father, "I'm sorry, I can't get up. Ki derech nashim li, because the way of women is upon me." In other words, she's saying that I have become an Ida, and apparently I'm in some kind of discomfort. It's hard for me to stand up. So please excuse me for not standing up and not allowing you to look what might be hidden under the cushion, which in fact is where the trophim were. Vayichapes, so Lavan searched, not without Rachel getting up. He searched everywhere else. V'loy matso es ha-trophim, and he did not find the trophim. Ramban there says that he doesn't understand Rachel's excuse. He says a woman who is menstruating, they can't get up, they can't stand up even for a couple of seconds. Is it such a terrible illness? Normally not. I mean, there could be unusual discomfort, but normally Isha Nida could stand up, maybe go stand up and sit down somewhere else if she's not feeling so well. But the Ramban doesn't understand what kind of an excuse this was that Rachel gave. And so he says as follows. We'll read a few words. V'nochen be'enai, what is correct in my eyes is, ki hoyu hanidais mimei akadmonim miruchokais ma'od. The nidais, the women who were nidais in the yimei hakadmonim, in the early days of history, back in the times of Yaakov Avinu, Meruchokais ma'oid, they were distanced very much from their husbands. And this is even by, not by just the family of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who eventually would receive the mitzvah of Nida on Har Sinai, but even Lavan, even other people. Ki chen shmon li'olam, because this is the name of this category of woman since always, Nidais, they are called Nidais, the Rihu Kan, because of their distancing that they understood must occur between them and their husbands. The word Nida, the Ramban is telling us, is like the word Nud Vinud, Na Vinud. They are moved away from their husbands. Ki Yodu HaKadmoyne B'Chachmason, the Kadmoynim, the Ramban says, the early people, they understood with their wisdom that for a husband to go near his wife when she's an Ida is unhealthy, and it's not the right thing. And they were makbid, they were particular, and they were machmir regarding their distancing from Nidais even more than what the Torah would ultimately require. And therefore, Lavan, he was coming into Rachel's tent to search, and she's sitting on this camel cushion. And she says to him, "I'm sorry, Dad, I can't get up. ki derech nashim li, I am Anida. And Ramban points out later, he doesn't even answer her. He doesn't even want to talk to her. He understands that I don't go near her. That's all. I'm not looking over there. It's out. It's out of the question. And in fact, she pulled a good trick on him, because that she actually was hiding the trophim under her seat. So we see here that the knowledge of the idea of the knowledge of the idea of Nida was known even generations before the Torah was given. So here, when Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell the people that when a woman gives birth, so kimei nidas dvoisa titmo, she will become tamei like a nida. They knew exactly what a nida was. They certainly knew the basic idea, and they would understand what he was saying. Another answer to this question is that even though the law of nida, the Torah's law of nida, with the Torah's definitions and parameters, even though that is not stated, that is not written in the written Torah until the end of Parshas Metsora, but we can certainly suggest, it is probably most likely true, that it was already known to the people as Torah Sheba'al Peh. Although we've mentioned many times that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, he came down with the two luchais. He came down with the Aseres Adibrais, not with a whole Sefer Torah as we know it today. But he immediately began teaching the people the laws of the Torah, but he taught it to them Ba'al Peh. And that was the procedure throughout their years in the Midbar until he finally wrote down the Torah on the last day of his life. Now, the order in which the mitzvahs are written down may not be exactly the same as the order in which he gave them. Just because here this mitzvah of Tumas Leida is written at the beginning of Parshas Tazria, and the Mishnah of the mitzvah of Nida is not written until later in the Sefer Torah, at the end of Parshas Metsora, that doesn't mean that when he was giving them the mitzvah of Tumas Leida, they didn't know what Anida was. They very, very well could be that they already knew what Anida was, and they knew the basic halachas of Nida because Moshe Rabbeinu had told it to them already at some earlier time. We certainly know that there are psukim in the Torah which cannot be understood at all without Torah Shebaal Peh. We know there are psukim in the Torah that if we wouldn't have Torah Shebaal Peh, we would understand them differently, we'd be missing certain details, but there are even psukim in the Torah that would not make sense at all if we don't say that the writing of the pasuk was really preceded by an oral presentation, which perhaps took place years before. The primary example of this that is always cited is in Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh, Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that we are going to eventually build a Beis HaMikdash, but if you're living far away from the Beis HaMikdash and you want to have some meat for dinner, you don't have to sanctify a korban and travel all the way to the Beis HaMikdash and bring it there as a korban shlomim and eat the meat. Rather, the pasuk says that if you're far away from the Beis HaMikdash, so it says, "V'zavachta mi bekorcha umitzaincha asher nasan Hashem lecha," you may slaughter from your cattle and from your sheep that Hashem has given to you. You may slaughter it where you are, and you may slaughter it kasher tzivisicha, as I have commanded you, v'yachalta bisharecha, and then you may eat the meat in your own cities, b'chol avas nafshecha, according to the entire desire of your souls. What does it mean, v'zavachta, you will slaughter the animal, kasher tzivisicha, as I have commanded you? There is nowhere in the Torah which gives us instructions how to slaughter an animal. The entire Hilchos Shechita, as we can find it in Maseches Chulin, is entirely Torah Sheba'al Peh. There are no psukim about it. So what does this pasuk mean? You will slaughter the animal as I have commanded you. So Rashi says, "Lamadnu sheyesh sivui v'zvicha." We see from this pasuk that there was a commandment regarding slaughtering animals, heich yishchat, how one should slaughter, v'hein hilcha shchita, these are the laws of shchita, shenemru l'moshe v'sinai, that were said and given to Moshe at Har Sinai orally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to have a very sharp knife and you have to cut exactly these specific spots on the animal and it can't drag across the throat and this and that. The whole corpus of Hilchas Shechita that we know today, at least we hope the Sheikhtim know it, it's all Torah Shebal Peh and it's all alluded to by this pasuk, by these words in the pasuk, kasher sivisicha, as I have commanded you. If there wouldn't have been a Torah Shebal Peh that really preceded the writing of this pasuk, it would be impossible to read. What do you mean, kasher sivisicha? Where? It has to be that the Torah Shebiksav is referring to the Torah Shebal Peh. And similarly here, when Moshe Rabbeinu here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that a woman who gives birth becomes tamei, ki mei nidas dvoiso, like the days of the discomfort of her nidus, they knew what a nida was. How did they know what a nida was? Because he had already told them as part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. I would like to focus now on two questions which are admittedly considerably more difficult to answer. The two questions are as follows. Rashi adds, he inserts here in the middle of his comments about the meaning of the words, kimei nidas dvoisa titmo, he inserts a halachic point. He says, v'afilo niftach hakever b'leidam, the yoledes, the woman who gives birth, becomes tamei, even if her womb opened up to facilitate the birth, b'leidam, without any blood at all. It's extremely unusual. But the Gemara in Maseches Nida Daf Chaf Aleph talks about this question, whether there is such a thing as psiches hakever b'loy dam. Could the rechem, could the womb open, possibly, without any loss of blood at all? Or is that an impossibility? And even if you don't see any blood, but surely there was some blood there. Maybe there were certain other bodily fluids that came out from the woman. Maybe you didn't really see the blood that was mixed in. That's a question in Maseches Nida. But Rashi here is clearly taking the opinion that the Ishi Yoledes is Tamei, afilo niftach hakever b'leidam, even if the womb opened up without any blood at all. And we mentioned what the Mefarshim say. The Mefarshim explain why Rashi says this, because if we're talking here about a Yoledes who experiences a loss of blood as part of the birth process, so then we wouldn't need this pasuk altogether. She would just be a nida. So that's why Rashi says this. However, what I find interesting is where Rashi places this comment. It would seem that the place for this comment would be a little bit earlier in the pasuk. It says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael, isha ki sazria v'yolda zochar, a woman who will conceive and give birth to a male child, v'toma shivas yamim, she will become tamei for 7 days. It would seem that right there is the place to insert this comment, because right there is where the question arises. What do you mean you're coming to tell me something new, that this woman is tamei for 7 days? If she experienced bleeding, then obviously she's tamei for 7 days because she's a nida. It would seem that that would be the place where Rashi should insert this comment. And we'll see soon, Amir Sashem, that some Mefarshim do put something like this comment over there on the words, V'tama Shivas Yamim. Rashi waits. Rashi waits till the next part of the pasuk, Ki mei nidas dvoiso titmo, like the days of the discomfort of her nidus or the flow of her nidus, she will become tame. And here Rashi puts in, and even afilu niftach hakever b'leidam, even if the womb opened up with no blood. It seems like he is placing this comment not exactly in the right place. That's question number one. Question number two is on the word dvoisa, Rashi gives two explanations. His second explanation is what almost all the other Mefarshim say, that Dalit Vav is Lashon Madve. It is a Lashon of illness or discomfort. There are psukim that support this. And it's because a Nida usually feels some discomfort and some sort of illness before she begins. Almost all the Mefarshim choose that approach. But Rashi insists at the beginning, he says a different pshat. He says the word dvaisa means that which flows from her body. And we mention the Mizrahi, who says, well, the letter Dalit could be a replacement for the letter Zayin, and the letter Vav could be a replacement for the letter Veis. So dvaisa is like Zoiv, and Zoiv means that which flows. So dvaisa means that which flows from her body. It seems like Rashi is kind of stubbornly insisting on telling us this pshat, this interpretation of the word dvaisa. Whereas all the other mefarshim that I saw, they apparently feel that this is a doichak, this is stretching it a little bit. Say the dalit is really like a zayin, and the vase is really like the vav is really like a vase. That's a little contrived, and therefore they don't mention this pshat at all. Or if they do mention it, they only mention it in order to refute it. So why is Rashi insisting upon saying that dvaisa can mean davar hazav migufa? Very often, one cannot really appreciate what Rashi is saying without seeing what some of the other commentators say. One needs that clarity that is created by contrast in order to get a clear picture of what Rashi is doing. In this case, there is a very clear contrast between Rashi's interpretation and the interpretation of his own grandson, Rashbam, Rabbi Shmuel ben Meir. Rashbam here says, Isha ki sazria, ki tisaber, when she will become pregnant, the way we translated it, when she will conceive. Ben zachar ben nekeva, whether it's a male, whether it's a female. Okay, we're not going to see everything that he says about that, but Isha ki sazria, when a woman will conceive. So then, shivas yamim, she will be tamei for 7 days. And here the Rashbam says, afilo le'ros adam, even if she did not see any blood as part of the leida. So here, Rashbam seems to be putting in the comment about even if there's no dam, he's putting it in not in the same place where Rashi put it in. Rashi put it in on the last part of the pasuk, ki mei nidas dvaisa. And we asked that it would seem really more logical to put it at the beginning of the pasuk on the words shivas yamim. And in fact, that's where the Rashbam puts it. On the words shivas yamim, Rashbam writes, afilo le'ros adam. Because, why does he say it? Apparently because he was bothered. Why would the pasuk have to come and tell us that a woman who gives birth is tamei for 7 days? If she experiences a loss of blood, which is the norm, she should be a nida. So we don't need this pasuk. We have other psukim about nida. So on that, Rashbam says, no, she's tamei, even if she didn't see any blood at all. And the Rashbam continues, Kimei nidas dvaisa, kimei richuk chol yah hamafurish lefaneinu. She will become tamei like the days of distancing, of separation from her husband, which is associated with her chol yah, with her illness, meaning the illness or the discomfort that accompanies nidus, and which also creates a halacha of richuk mi ba'alo, of some degree of separation from her husband. This will also occur to her halachically when she has a child. And now the Rashbam says some very important words here. Al yidei re'iyas dam tamei, because of the seeing, because of the experiencing of dam tamei, of dam that is impure, meaning the dam of nidus, re'iyas dam leida. And here you have to kind of put in another, an extra word, Re'iyas Dam Leda also is the seeing or the experiencing of Dam Leda. In other words, he is paraphrasing the Pasuk, Kimei Nidas Dvoisol, that the Aledes is Tamei, similar to how she was Tamei when she became a Nida, because the Dam Tamei of Nida is similar to this Dam of Leda. Okay. Now, first of all, let's just look at some of the differences between Rashi's comments, Rashi's interpretation, and those of his grandson, Rashbam. When Rashi wants to say that a Yoledis becomes Tamei, even if there was no Dam, Rashi says he uses some very interesting words. He says, Afilo niftecha kevra b'lei Dam. Even if the womb opened up without any blood at all. Meaning there actually was no dam at all. Even if there was actually no dam at all, the yoledes is tamei. The Rashbam uses different words. Besides placing his comment in a different place, as we already pointed out, he also uses different words. He says, afilo lo rasa dam. Even if she did not see any blood, she didn't experience any blood, she didn't notice that there was any blood. And I think what he means is that he is explaining the pasuk according to the opinion in Masechet Nida that ein psicha sakever b'lei dam. There's no such thing as the womb opening up to allow a baby to come out without any bleeding at all. If she doesn't notice any bleeding, that's because she didn't notice it. It was only a little bit, and it perhaps was hidden amongst other bodily fluids and objects that were coming out of her body, and therefore, she didn't see it. She did not see the dam. It had to be there, but she just didn't see it. And part of the reason I'm explaining, one reason I'm explaining the Rashbam's words like this is simply because that's what the words sound like, and also because one line later, in the next sentence in his commentary, he says, Al yidei ri'iyas dam tamei, just like the woman becomes tamei because of ri'as dam tamei, because of seeing the blood of Nida, so ri'iyas dam leda. She also becomes tamei because of the dam leda. So when the Rashbam said before, afilo le'ras dam, he can't mean that there literally was no dam. He means she didn't see it. Okay, she didn't see it. Even so, she is tamei. Okay. That's one difference between Rashi and Rashbam. Another difference is that Rashi at least considers the possibility that the word devoisa means davar azov migufa, that which flows from her body. We explain that's a little hard to say, other Mefarshim disagree, but Rashi writes it as a legitimate interpretation. He then says lashon acher. He then says, and there's another explanation. But this is also legitimate. Rashi's not just throwing out some idea that's rejected. Well, that if it's rejected, there's no point writing it down. So he does consider that to be a legitimate interpretation. Rashbam does not. He doesn't mention that at all. Rashbam says that she's tamei kimei richu cholya, like the days of separation because of her illness of Nida. And later he writes even more explicitly that devoisa is l'shoin choili. The word devoisa is an expression of illness or of discomfort. Kamoi, like it says in Yirmiyah Aposik, libi davai. My heart was pained, my heart was in discomfort. So Rashi does consider the possibility that devoisa means davar azov migufa, that which flows from her body. The Rashbam does not. And I think that this really adds up to a basic disagreement between Rashbam and Rashi, how to understand this pasuk and how to understand this halacha of Tumas Leda. Let's begin with the Rashbam. The Rashbam, we said, tells us that the Isha Yoledes, the woman who gives birth, is Tamei, even if she did not see any dam. The dam was there. It had to be there. because he seems to be following the opinion, Ein psicha sakerva b'leidam, but she didn't see it. Nonetheless, she becomes tummy by virtue of the fact that she gave birth. And this is perhaps why the Rashbam rejects Rashi's interpretation that the word devoisa is like zava, that it refers to a flow of something from her body. Because the Rashbam says that al yedei riyas dam tameh, just like a woman becomes tameh because of being a nida, so too is riyas dam leida. So too is the existence of dam leida. So too, when she experiences some bleeding because of leida, she also becomes tamei. In other words, Rashbam is defining this halacha of tumas leida, that just like the dam of nidus makes a woman tamei, so the dam of leida makes a woman tamei. It might be you didn't see the dam, she didn't see the dam, the midwife didn't see the dam, nobody saw the dam, but there was dam accompanying the leida, and that dam makes her tamei. So just like this dam makes her tamei, that dam makes her tamei. Now, according to this, what is the defining characteristic of a nida as opposed to a yoledes? They both experience bleeding. In both cases, there is dam. So what's special about a nida? It can't be that the nida sees dam and the yoledes does not see dam. That doesn't explain the difference between them. And therefore, I think that's why Rashbam does not even consider his grandfather's explanation that devoisa refers to the flow of blood that a nida has. Because that we're not talking about her flow of blood. I mean, that's not what defines her. The fact that she has a flow of blood, that doesn't make her any different than a yoledes. That's not really her defining characteristic, because the yoledes also has a flow of blood, according to Rashbam. So the Rashbam says that what distinguishes Anida, the defining characteristic of Anida, is the cholyo, the illness or the discomfort that is accompanied with the dam. The yoledes, it's not the dam that causes her the pain. She's in a lot of pain for a different reason, but it's not the loss of blood specifically. So according to Rashbam, what the pasuk is saying is that just like the dam of leida causes tuma, but you might have thought that perhaps the dam of a yoledes does not cause tuma because it's a different kind of dam. It's not a flow of dam that is accompanied by, that causes a discomfort. Her discomfort is for other reasons, but it's not the dam really that causes the discomfort. So you might have thought that's different. Kamash Malon, the Pasuk is coming to tell us, Kimei Nidas Dvoisa, this Yoledes is Tame, just like a Nida. Because the dam of Nida and the dam of Yoledes, They are equivalent. You would have thought they're different, but they're not. Why might you have thought they're different? So perhaps we can invoke an idea that is explained and discussed by Rav Hirsch, Zichrono Livracha, Zichrono Livracha. Rav Hirsch explained in general what is the whole idea of tuma. Why are some things tame? Well, the avi avoisa tuma, the greatest level of tuma, is that which is caused by a dead body. So Rav Hirsch explains that's really what's behind all tuma. All tuma has to do with death. Okay, so a dead human body causes the biggest, the most severe form of tuma. The bodies of dead animals cause a lesser kind of tuma. All of that is good. What about leida? The dam nida causes tuma. Because when a woman becomes a nida, that means she did not conceive a baby that month. So there's a certain loss of potential life. What about Leda? Well, Leda, what about birth? You might have said, birth? Birth? What do you mean loss of life? There was no loss of life up here. Here her life was created. Here her life came into being. A new person was born. So why should your lettuce become tame? That's why you need a pasuk to tell us that that dam leda also causes tumor, the way the Rashbam explains it. You would have thought there was no loss of life here. There was an addition of life. But what the pasuk is telling us is that legabe, regarding the mother, there was a loss of life. Yesterday, she was two lives. She was her own life, and the life of the baby was inside of her. Today, she gave birth. She's only one life now. That's also considered a loss of life, and it causes tuma. One can say other explanations, but according to Rashbam, the pasuk is saying not that the nida experienced a loss of blood. The Yoledis did not experience a loss of blood, but nonetheless, the Pasuk is telling us she's tame. No, they both lost blood. The Pasuk is telling us that the Dam of Nida causes Tuma, and similarly, the Dam of the Yoledis causes Tuma. That's according to Rashma. What about according to Rashi? Rashi says, not that the Yoledis didn't see the dam, not that she didn't experience the dam, was not conscious of the dam. Rashi says, niftach hakever b'loy dam. Her womb actually opened without any loss of blood whatsoever. He's following that opinion in the Gemara. And I think that's why Rashi takes this comment of niftach hakever b'loy dam, and he places it in the part of the verse that says that the Yoledis is tame like Anita. He doesn't put it in the beginning of the pasuk, which merely says, a Yoledis is tame. He puts it a little bit later in the pasuk, where the pasuk says, ki mei nidas dvoisa, that the Yoledis is tame the same way, like a Nida, to emphasize the contrast. That the Nida lost blood. The Yoledis we're talking about here did not lose any blood at all. Niftach hakever b'loy dam. But the chiddush of the pasuk is, the Yoledis is tamei, even though there was no loss of dam at all. Now, according to this, what is the really defining characteristic of a nida as opposed to a Yoledis? We said according to the Rashbam, it can't be that the nida experienced, had a loss of blood. The Yoledis did not. That's not the defining characteristic of the Nida, because according to Rashbam, really, the Yoledis also had some bleeding, even if we may not have seen it, but it was there. But according to Rashi, Rashi takes it to the other extreme. Rashi says the Yoledis did not lose even one drop of blood. Perhaps. I mean, it could be talking. The Pasuk is talking about that extreme case. Therefore, the defining characteristic of Anita is that she did have a loss of blood. And it could be that's why Rashi insisted, that's why he was quote-unquote stubborn about explaining that kimei nidas dvaisa means lushin davar hazav migufa. It's referring to a flow of blood from the body of the Nida. All the other Mefarshim rejected that explanation. It doesn't really, grammatically, it doesn't work. It's too far-fetched. The Dalit is like a Zion, and the Vav is like a base. But Rashi pushed it in. Rashi was stubborn about it. Because according to Rashi, that is the defining characteristic of a Nida, which contrasts it with the Yoledis. That point, that the Nida has a Dover Hazov Migufa, and the Yoledis, not necessarily. We're talking about a Yoledis that was Niftach HaKever B'Lei Dam. There was no loss of blood at all. So we can understand now why Rashi put his comment about Niftach HaKever B'Lei Dam in the exact place where he put it. He put it there to emphasize the whole thrust of the Pasuk, that the Nida is Tame because of her Dam. The Aletus is Tame despite the fact that there was, in fact, no Dam at all. And we can understand why he was insistent and a little stubborn about explaining that the word Devaiso means, at least possibly, Dover Azov Migufo. I said before that I would try to explain why Rashi refers to the woman's womb as a kever, as a grave. I'm sure there are many profound thoughts about this. I would like to present one point. I think that perhaps this is a case of what the Gemara calls, Rashi also uses this expression occasionally, bor l'lamed v'nimsa l'lamed. Sometimes there's something that is coming to teach. It is coming to serve as an example of something, but nimsa l'lamed, but because of the analogy that is made, we really learn about the first item. What do I mean here? The rechem is referred to here as the kever. I don't know exactly what that tells us about the rechem, but I think it tells us something very big about the kever. And that is, just like a rechem, just like the womb is a place where an unformed body awaits its birth, it awaits its completion and its entrance into a better world, it waits its entrance into where it really belongs, which is outside the womb. So similarly, the kever also, the kever is not just a hole in the ground where the worms eat up the body. No, the kever is a place where an unformed or deformed body awaits tchias amesim. It awaits rebirth. And that could be at least part of what our Chazal and Rashi are teaching us by referring to the rechem as a kever. Not so much to teach us what a rechem is, although I'm sure it does teach us in some way what a rechem is. But the point that I'm trying to bring out is that it is teaching us what a kever is. A kever is a waiting room. Just like the rechem is a waiting room, waiting for the fetus to develop and then to come out to where it belongs, the kever is a waiting room, waiting for tzachias amesim, when ultimately, speedily in our days, the decaying body will be reformed and come out into the world where it really belongs.